This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, Macca and Fiona.
Well, Macca, we have had quite a few people get in touch to communicate their feelings for what you have put out today, and so much support. We've had a caller to the front desk who said, "I've always thought Macca is awesome, fucking awesome." Sorry, I don't know if I was allowed to swear, but there you go. It wasn't me. I didn't say it. Thank you. From listener 327, well done, Macca. From DC. Got any hints about who that might be, Macca?
No idea.
317, our regular listener, has said hugs to all the victims and also said hugs to you, Macca.
Thank you.
And another one, Macca, don't allow the abuse that abuse to define you.
It doesn't.
And lots of kisses as well. So thank you, 317.
Thank you.
Another listener, Jenny Smith, you may not be able to control the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. Maya Angelou.
Yeah.
Good that she texted.
And can I just say, anyone who's listening that was challenged by what I said or upset, remember, Lifeline is there, 13, 11, 14. Who's our next guest?
Well, we have a very important guest, an MP from the Reason Party. It is Fiona Patton. Welcome to Saturday Magazine, Fiona.
Well, thank you, Dylan. Hi, Macca. Hi, Fiona.
Good morning.
Morning, Fiona. Well, very much on topic, of course, your recent call for George Pell to be excommunicated. I think that this is obviously something that a lot of people would be after. They would have to wait until after the appeal for any action to be taken in that area.
No. Well, look, obviously it probably should wait till after the appeal. But I think, you know, while there is this case still in the process, there are so many other incidences where Archbishop Pell just, or Cardinal Pell, or whatever we like to call him now, asshole Pell.
Criminal Pell.
Criminal convict Pell, yeah. Criminal Pell has proven that he is an extremely cruel and unchristian person. And, you know, I have heard firsthand from families who have dealt with him face to face. And I have never heard of such cruelty to people in distress and people who have been abused and are in trauma. So I really feel, and it's been a very mixed feelings this week. And Macca, I thought that was just a beautiful editorial piece you did there. It was just hit the mark perfectly. But I too have just been going through waves of emotion, just thinking about all the people that never saw justice done.
And, you know, the result of this conviction becoming public, I mean, we knew about it on the 11th of December, some of us, but it actually sends a message to survivors that you can stand up, that no one is untouchable. The justice system does work, and that, you know, I know how hard it is to stand up and speak up.
But
I tell you what, it's a hell of a lot better than storing it up. And I say to all those survivors, I stand alongside you. I stand alongside you, as do so many other people. And, you know, not just the Catholic Church, but other institutions need to realise and understand that what is happening, the paradigm is changing. And
that's right.
You're not going to get away with this any longer. And the position that you occupy in society is also going to change in a regulatory sense, in a legal sense, in a financial sense, but most importantly, in a moral sense. You are they are morally extinguished.
They are, and I mean they are almost extinguished. I mean, less than 8% of Australians go to church, so this is a dying entity, which because people don't we have lost faith in those organisations, and Cardinal Pell has been part of that process of us all losing faith in those organisations. You know, he talks about being the first. You know, the first bishop to try and help the victims, which is utter rubbish. And it was, you know, by setting up the Melbourne response, which was really about minimising the church's risk and trying to silence the survivors.
Yes.
Rather than help them. It was callous, and it was very strategic, and I'll certainly raise in Parliament that the government should insist that the Catholic Church overturn the Melbourne response and enable those victims/survivors to speak out.
Yeah, there's a move that's been reported, and I know the Attorney General's considering this, Jill Hennessy, the Attorney General, to remove some of the legal restrictions, which a couple of other states have done, that allow people that signed non-disclosure agreements for piddling amounts of money
with the church
for them to be overridden.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and exactly. that's if it was any other organisation, it wouldn't be questioned. There wouldn't even be a discussion about it. So
absolutely, and you know, I think this is I've been on your show talking about religious transparency and accountability and trying to introduce legislation that, you know, either gets them to pay their fair share of tax for their commercial businesses or at the very least have some accountability.
Yeah.
They don't pay tax. They have an inordinate, they're the wealthiest entity organisation in Australia, and yet they're completely secret.
Mm.
And that secrecy gives them this sense of privilege, that they are above the law, that they run on their own terms, and that's got to end. And, you know, I think certainly this week in Pell's conviction should be the beginning of the end of that.
You know, I feel for the survivors of this abuse, but, you know, the other people that I really feel for are the people of faith.
These
organisations that have abused their trust, that actually don't live up to the faith that they espouse. I feel for those people of faith. And let me make this very clear. My distaste, my hate is for the organisations and the people who run them, who look the other way and, you know, who condone, and they do, they condone pedophilia.
Right.
It's not for the people of faith. I respect that you have that faith, and I understand it. It's not about you. It's about the institution.
That's absolutely right. And this is time for them to stop resisting being more accountable.
Mm.
It's time for them to stop thinking that they are privileged. And that goes to, you know, the exemptions in the Discrimination Act, where they feel that they can discriminate. Well, feel they can legally discriminate against anyone they like. Not having to bring out any financial reporting on the money that they've received and how they've used it. You know, the fact is they don't pay any tax, and I'd like to know what they use that money for. And I know that, you know, many religious organisations do some fantastic charity work.
There
needs to be transparent.
Well, certainly, Fiona, it was reported in the Sydney Morning Herald that they have estimated the church to be worth $30 billion with their properties and other many associated businesses. And of course, they claim that this money is going to be is always used to, you know, for their charitable, you know, the charitable causes and the things that they do spend money on to assist underprivileged. And certainly that is, you know, all of those things are very worthy, but to be denying the amount of money and to be lying about the amount of money that the, that they actually own to have at their resources.
And that's then, right. And then, tax returning.
There's that wonderful line in Yes Minister when Prime Minister Hacker is has to choose a new Archbishop of the Church of England. Mm. And when he's having the discussion, he says, you know, really this Archbishop needs to be a combination of a real estate agent, an investment advisor and an accountant.
Covering all bases.
Just
that's absolutely right.
No, no, I was just going to say, look, we've only got a minute or a couple of minutes left. I just wanted to briefly touch Fiona. You know, you've come out supporting the AFL Players Association.
Yes.
You know, over the... you know, the Australian Football League's illicit drug policy.
Yes.
You know, Nick Riewoldt said, you know, that drug use was out of control. Well, you know, he couldn't keep his pants on for a picture. But, you know, they should be suspended after one positive test, blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts? Tell us.
Look, I think that the Players Association has been doing really good work around drug use in the young players. These are young players who, you know, probably have more money than they know what to do with. They're young, they're going out, and yes, some of them are using illicit substances. Now, by actually taking them in and counselling them and treating their drug use as a health issue, not as a criminal one, they are doing far better work in helping these young people. So that... And, you know, this is what I would like to see all drug use treated as. And I think the Players Association are doing an excellent job in trying to keep those young players safe, to educate them properly and to take them through this time when they're, you know, they're young and into risk-taking and ensure that they are as safe as possible.
Yeah.
So I actually think that that's a very sensible model to start... Punishing people for using recreational drugs is not the answer. It doesn't help anyone, and it doesn't send a good message to people. You know, just say no, don't do drugs. Drugs are bad. We know from the wastewater results we saw just the other week, $9.3 billion worth of illicit drugs are taken by Australians.
That was such a great stat.
Yeah,
I know, it's amazing.
Unfortunately, Fiona, we've run out of time, but. I know we're going to have you back on again real soon.
Yeah, look forward to it.
We value your work. We value your advocacy. And thank you again for your time. I know how valuable it is and how short it is. So thank you.
thanks very much, Mike. And again, just thank you. Thank you for your words for all the survivors. It was beautifully said.
Thank you. Thank you.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I just want to read out a comment, if I can, here briefly from a listener. I know, Pete Macker, I know people are very upset about Robert Richter's remarks. He's doing his job. Yes, he's doing his job. He knew what he said. He knew what he said. It's no good for him arguing these words are meant for the judge alone. He knew they were going to be reported. Sure, he apologised. Robert Richter, shame. Every single survivor heard those words and hurt a little bit more. Yes, people in the court system deal with these cases on a weekly basis. They're exposed to this, you know, to these issues, and they suffer a lot of stress. They do, and, you know, my message is the same for them. And I say to younger members of churches who feel disenfranchised, dissatisfied, you know, not on... this issue, but in terms of their faith and the direction of their institutions, speak up. Speak up about the way your faith is being sold.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.